bigger than the startled mouths of children, and even dozens together could only pluck at the strands of her darkening hair until their wings sagged, sodden with her blood. They were purled away with the blossoms as a grit-choked gust came blasting down the street. The earth heaved underfoot. The sky spun on its axis. A queer brilliance lanced through billowing smoke, and the people of Weep had to squint against it, blowing grit and hot light and the stink of saltpeter. There'd been an explosion. They might have died, all and easily, but only this girl had, shaken from some pocket of the sky. Her feet were bare, her mouth stained damson. Her pockets were all full of plums. She was young and lovely and surprised and dead. She was also blue. Blue as opals, pale blue. Blue as cornflowers or dragonfly wings or a spring, not summer, sky. Someone screamed. The scream drew others. The others screamed too. Not because a girl was dead, but because the girl was blue. And this meant something in the city of Weep. Even after the sky stopped reeling, and the earth settled, and the last fumes spluttered from the blast site and dispersed, the screams went on, feeding themselves from voice to voice, a virus of the air. The blue girl's ghost gathered itself and perched, bereft, upon the spear-point tip of the projecting finial, just an inch above her own still chest. Gasping in shock, she tilted back her invisible head and gazed, mournfully up. The screams went on and on. And across the city, atop a monolithic wedge of seamless, mirror-smooth metal, a statue stirred, as though awakened by the tumult, and slowly lifted its great horned head. Part 1. Shrestha. Noun. When a dream comes true, but not for the dreamer. Archaic, from Shres, the bastard god of fortune, who was believed to punish supplicants for inadequate offerings by granting their heart's desire to another. Chapter 1. Mysteries of Weep. Names may be lost or forgotten. No one knew that better than Laszlo Strange. He'd had another name first, but it had died like a song with no one left to sing it. Maybe it had been an old family name, burnished by generations of use. Maybe it had been given to him by someone who loved him. He liked to think so, but he had no idea. All he had were Laszlo and Strange. Strange because that was the surname given to all foundlings in the kingdom of Zosma, and Laszlo after a monk's tongueless uncle.
He had it cut out on a prison galley,
Brother Argos told him when he was old enough to understand.
He was an eerie silent man, and you were an eerie silent babe. So it came to me, Laszlo. I had to name so many babies that year, I went with whatever popped into my head.
He added, as an afterthought,
didn't think you'd live anyway.
That was the year Zosma sank to its knees and bled great gouts of men into a war about nothing. The war, of course, did not content itself with soldiers. Fields were burned, villages pillaged. Bands of displaced peasants roamed the razed countryside, fighting the crows for gleanings. So many died that the tumbrils used to cart thieves to the gallows were repurposed to carry orphans to the monasteries and convents. They arrived like shipments of lambs, to hear the monks tell it, and with no more knowledge of their provenance than lambs either. Some were old enough to know their names at least, but Laszlo was just a baby, and an ill one, no less.
Grey as rain, you were,
Brother Argo said.
Thought sure you'd die, but you ate and you slept and your colour came normal in time. Never cried, never once. And that was unnatural. But we liked you for it fine. None of us became monks to be nursemaids.
To which the child Laszlo replied, with fire in his soul,
And none of us became children to be orphans.